It's my pleasure to be here this morning. And as we were talking beforehand, I was scheduled here in January. And you know when I was scheduled? It was the one Sunday that y'all had to close because of weather. The only one. So what that tells me is I wasn't ready for y'all and y'all weren't ready for me. And now we are. Okay? Because there are no accidents. There are no coincidences. Everything happens in divine order and as we are ready for it. So this morning, I'm going to talk about wonder. And I have a kind of an affirmation. I would love it if y'all would say with me. And I'll break it into two parts. Here's what it is. It's, life is a wonder, and I am a wonderful part of it. So would you say that with me? Life is a wonder, and I am a wonderful part of it. Do you feel that in your own being? You know, isn't that? And that's the truth of who we are, but so many times we forget that. We forget that we are part of this wonder that we call life. So, and the talk title today is I Wonder as I Wander. I'm talking about as I'm wandering through my spiritual journey, it brings about a lot of times for me to wonder about my spiritual journey. And, you know, we had a little brief conversation. It does remind me of that song. That title reminds me of that song, the Christmas song, that is played, you know, a lot of times. And the first line reminds me, you know, of that life that we all live as we wander around. But now, maybe a little known fact about that song. You realize that that song got seeded in Murphy, North Carolina. It got seeded. That's where the seed was planted in the composer's mind, was in Murphy, North Carolina. There was an evangelist who had gotten kicked out of town, and they were trying to raise money to leave, and so he was out doing a fundraiser, and this little girl, disheveled and dirty and all this, steps out, and she kind of sings. And she sang those first few lines, and she was given a quarter every time she would sing, so that was part of their fundraiser. This happened back, it was pre-1930 because the author actually wrote the song. I think it was 1933 when that happened. But do know that when you hear that song, just remember it was up the road. And it can be an odd little song, but that's okay. But remember and take that in when you do hear it. That's the story. It's the story of my journey. It's the story of your journey. As we wander around in this thing called life, remembering who we are, because the truth is we know who we are, we just forget from time to time. So that's the piece that, you know, I wonder as I wander under the night sky. I do wonder. Do you ever sit out, and then this is a beautiful part of the country to do that, do you ever sit out and look at the night sky and just wonder? And we can feel so expansive, but we can also feel so tiny in the greatness of all that is. And so it's remembering. You know, when we think about the word wonder, it brings us, it's actually about speculating. It's about curiosity. It's about imagining. And to be filled, the other piece of that, and this is the one that I love, is to be filled with admiration, to be filled with joy. You know, it's to marvel and to be excited about something and to let that fill us. So I'm a student of vibration, of energy, and because I feel that's all we all are. You know, we're just vibration, we're just energy in a form, and everything around us is that. As I look out and I see the new growth on this tree right here, that beautiful bright green growth, that beautiful bright greenness of the new season that comes about. I stand out on my deck and I look out across the mountaintops and I see shades of green that I didn't know existed. And I keep thinking, I need to take a picture of that and post it to Facebook and go, how many greens do you see? Because I have never in my life seen as many greens as I do when the spring comes about in this area. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But the important piece for us, for me around this whole idea of the wonder, is to go back into that place of childlike wonder. You know, when we think about a child, they see so many things and they get excited. And the whole idea of, oh, this is new and this is exciting, and that feeling inside. Can you bring yourself into that place of feeling that just, it's almost an uncontrollable joy within? I think of a child on Christmas morning and how it's like, oh, I wonder what's going to be down there. And they get all excited because they get caught up in the excitement and the joy of being there. You know, and I strive to live my life in that consciousness of wonder and to live in that joy, in that amazement, in that beingness of, oh, isn't it grand? And I can't wait to see what comes next. I can't wait to see what is unfolding in my life and in the lives of those people around me. And so, in Matthew 18, verse 3, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, as truth students, we know that he wasn't talking about something out there, but he was talking about that heaven within. Because that's what he taught. He said that heaven is actually a state of consciousness that is within us. I wonder how much a child gets caught up here. And do they get stuck in their minds, or do they allow themselves to feel? You know, that's the beauty of little children, is they are so excited for what is, and they don't have any concept of all of the crap that's going on around us. And as we get older, you know, we start off as those little children and everything's amazing and exciting and, oh yeah, you know, oh, it's raining, I get to go stomp in a mud puddle, you know. But as we grow, we get inundated with the limitations that adults bring to the world. Because unfortunately, so many times as adults, we're stuck up here. We're stuck in our minds. Instead of taking that 18-inch journey and feeling into the life that is ours to have and to come from that place of our divine nature. Charles Fillmore, as a Unity minister, you know, Charles Fillmore in his books and Myrtle's are teachings that we hold to and that we use and talk about. In his book, Keep a True Lent, Charles said, the little child has no consciousness of the tribulations of life. And the logical conclusion is that when we unload false states of mind, we become childlike. We shall begin to realize what heaven is like. When we release false states of consciousness, and I know that I am constantly unpacking some of these false ideas, some of these things that I've imagined or that I have decided are true, when in reality, if I can come down into this area, there's not a lick of truth to most of it. It's stuff that I've made up, that society has made up around me, that my teachers made up, that my playmates made up, that my parents made up, that our media makes up. And we buy into it. That is all filtered into our consciousness and we hold on to it. So, you know, what this tells me is, we got to shake that stuff off. It's not helping us. It's not bringing us to that point of our heaven experience. And so, all too often we get stuck in our heads or lost in our minds. There's a video of a gentleman named Leonard Jacobson. And it's a one-man, kind of a one-man play. And it's called Liberating Jesus. And he stands and he talks, and he's talking as if he is Jesus come back now. And he's talking about all of the things of his ministry and of his journey and things that were misinterpreted or misunderstood. And one of the comments he makes in there is, you have become lost in your minds. It's not about what's in your heads. It's about what's in your hearts. Because we know through the science of, it's called heart math, that our hearts have a consciousness. Our hearts have a thinking capacity. Well, Charles Fillmore referred to the heart as the abode of God. It's that point of our connection. It's that place where our divinity really takes residence. And from there, we move out. And that's why we talk about making that 18-inch journey from our minds to our hearts, because that's where the truth holds, is right there. When we're lost in our minds, we're lost in the make-believe that has come into our world. And so, you know, in all the years, even before I became a minister, and what I realized is there is not a single one of us that has ever come to a state of divine consciousness or heaven consciousness by thinking our way into it. We can't do it. Our mental capacity is not equipped to do that, because the ego gets in there and goes, oh, no, uh-uh, no. But when we have to come into our feeling nature, when we connect with our divinity and know who we are, that's when we get to have that experience. And it's, you know, so we're wandering around in our minds when the wonder is actually present in our heart space, in the truth of who we are. So, how many of us play in this arena of what if? Does anybody here ever get into a case of the what ifs? Yeah? Yeah, I mean, but, and we have a tendency, you know, and as a normal human society, we have a tendency to what if into a negative side or into a, oh, you know, it could be bad. You know, if I don't do this, well, what if I don't do it? Then this is going to happen or that's going to happen. A colleague of mine wrote a book, and it's called What If Up. And it's about shifting those perspectives. Instead of going what if and go down some rabbit hole that's going to carry us into discomfort or despair, what if we saw things better? What if we came into an experience of joy and we're like, oh, well, you know, this is going to change my life. So what if I said yes to doing this or that? Look what could happen. Look what could unfold. And so that's what I'm going to do. Let's play a little game. And let's take it to the what if up. Let's take it to the what if. What if I showed up on a daily basis as this bright, shining light? You know, I think that's another piece of the whole thing around being childlike. When you look at children's toys, are they muted tones and dull colors? Or are they deep, rich, bright colors? Because that's what attracts children. That's what attracts me. I mean, I do like the subtle colors too, but the vibrancy of spring, as I was talking about, that bright green on that tree, that's the first thing I see. When I look at that tree, I see that brightness. Toy manufacturers aren't stupid. They get it. And so they know that to attract, then those children are going to be attracted to the brightness. How does that any different than us when we're living from our hearts, when we're living from that point of our divinity? We get bright and shiny. We become bright lights. We become that example, that energy of joy and love and peace and harmony. Doesn't that feel a lot brighter than despairing, disease, and, you know, just sadness and woe? Wouldn't you rather live from that place of the brightness, from that place of vibrant energy? And we know like attracts like, right? So if we're living from that energy, from that place of being shiny and bright and exciting, and we feel that joy bubbling up within us, when we come from that place, that's what we're putting in the field around us. That's what we're showing up with each other as. And so, what if we faced our days from that place of wonder and awe, and we were that foundation of joy in all that we did? What if we met each person with awe, with a smile on our face and a smile in our hearts? Would it make a difference on how our days go? Probably. Would it make a difference to the field of energy around us? Probably. So, talking about this, and as I was preparing, It reminded me of an ad campaign that Nabisco did back in 2013 with the Oreo cookies. And I loved it. The first time I heard that campaign, come on in, pull up a chair, come on into the semicircle here. We're glad you're with us.
I believe in semicircles.
There you go. Yeah, because we don't want to be trapped in, do we? We want that openness of the semicircle. But anyway, so it reminded me of that commercial. When I first heard these commercials back in around 2013, 2014 even, my heart got happy. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we talk about. You know? And the key to that was being wonder-filled. Okay? Now, granted, they were talking about the cookie and the white wonder inside. But listen to this and think how this might be. Can you hear out there? Feel good? I mean, it's peppy, it's joy, but think about what they're talking about. You know, they're talking about a cookie, but in essence, when we are sharing our joy, when we are sharing the wonder of our experience, aren't we doing that? Aren't we giving them that wonder-filled opportunity? We're planting a seed. And if we did that, is it going to go on? Are they going to take it and carry it on to somebody else? Probably. You know, I make it a point when I go into a store or anywhere where I'm dealing with other people, I try my best to use their name because that's my way of saying I see you. I do my best to be in right consciousness and share a smile. Share some sort of a word of affirmation about thank you so much for being here and doing this. You know, especially when you go into a store and if you're not a fan of the self-checkout, be grateful to your cashiers. You know, because I know a lot of people, they despise that self-checkout line. And then they go over and they just, how much? But they're taking something for you. They're taking away your need to go and do all this stuff yourself. They're there as an act of service. Yeah, they're getting a paycheck, but still, what if we shared some of the joy in our heart with them? What if we saw them, recognized them, and had gratitude for them? You think it would change their day? Yeah. So I shop at the Ingles here and at the Ingles in Clayton because I'm in Sky Valley, so I have about equal distance to both places. And I'm also a Starbucks fan. And there's a young lady at the Starbucks in Clayton, and I'll walk in the store, and I'll order what I want, and then I'll go and do the produce shopping, and then I'll come back and pick it up. So I walked in one day, and the young lady was there, and she's one that I had seen quite a bit, and she goes, I'm so glad you're here. And I went, well, thank you. I'm glad you're here too, but why? Tell me why you're glad, because I'd like to hear. And she goes, because every time you come in, I feel good. Every time you come in, you're so nice and you smile and you say something to me that makes my day better. And so I love it when you come in. And I thought, oh, yes, isn't it great when we do something, we do it routinely, and then all of a sudden we get an affirmation that it's making a difference? Somebody lets us know that it's happening. So I encourage us to strive to be that way. You know, it's so easy to share a moment of joy, a moment of that childlike wonder that's in within us. It's so easy. It doesn't cost us anything. And what I've discovered is when I do that, I don't care how good they feel. I feel good too. So be wonder-filled. So, I want to ask you for just a minute, if you would shut your eyes and hold an image in consciousness. Hold an image in consciousness of a world that is founded in awe and in joy. And the reason I asked you to image that is because as we image things, we are beginning the process of creation. It's one of the creative properties. And so just see in your mind's eye a world of joy, a world of love, a world of peace, a world where everyone has an opportunity to appreciate and be appreciated. And now as we do that, we also claim this for ourselves. And in claiming it for ourselves, we claim it for the world around us. And just breathe into that for a moment. And then as you do, I invite you to go ahead and bring your focus back to this now moment and bring that feeling with you. Bring that feeling of yes, that feeling of excitement, that feeling of yes, I'm making a difference in the world, in my life, and in the lives of those around me. For we are taught as within, so without. Okay, and you're invited to open your eyes back up. It's a little early and it's a rainy day and I don't want y'all to doze off. Okay? So, before I go in and do any kind of a closing, I'm comfortable with us saying, are there any questions or comments that you might have, or any situations in which you've recognized how contagious and infectious that childlike wonder that may be, that boils up within you is to the world around you? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, we have the ability to. It's kind of like the story of the 11th monkey. We have the ability to tip the scales. The more and more of us that do things like that, that recognize and see the shift, the greater the opportunity is for us to bring that about. I just got back from 10 days in Denver. I've really gotten accustomed to being here. To being in, you know, so number one, we're in the South. So it's a different kind of energy. And I was born in the South, even though I've lived in other places, but I was born in East Tennessee, the foothills of the Smokies. And that's actually what brought me back, is I've known all my life that that's where I would end up. I would be back into the Smokies because it's part of my core. When I would go to visit, there's a mountain. As you come across I-40 from the Nashville going toward Knoxville, you crest this one long hill, and the mountains just open up in front of you. And, you know, for years I was taking that drive because I lived in Memphis and Jackson and in Nashville, you know, through there. And I would crest that hill and I would see the majestic beauty of Grandmother Mountains. And I would just, tears would start running down my cheeks. Now, what kind of a sign do you need that that's where you need to be? I mean, it's there. And so I always told myself that I would eventually wind up back there in the mountains. I didn't commit myself to it had to be Tennessee. I knew that when the time was right, I would find my perfect place. And I have. You know, it's right here. But where I was going with that was there are mountains, as we all know, in the Denver area. And they're beautiful, but it's not the same energy. It's not the same vibration. Being in a metropolitan area with the hustle and the bustle and the traffic and the cars and all the people and everything everywhere. You know, you can't get from point A to point B without sitting stuck in traffic. I'd been there maybe 24 hours and I'm like, okay, I'm here to do my job, and I love the people that I was there working with. I was there working with a community. But I'm ready to be home, because this is where my heart resonates. And then the other side of that, I have to look at it and be serious about it. If I only stayed here, am I doing what I'm called to do? Which is help shift the vibration in other places. Yeah. Next Thursday, I leave and I fly up north, and I want to wind up in northern Wisconsin for 4 days. Why am I going? I'm going to be the agent of change, to help shift and bring about a higher vibration, a higher consciousness, and do it in a community. Because if we can plant the seeds in a community, then that gives us a greater opportunity to expand that higher vibration, to increase the frequency. So in closing, share your wonder, share your joy. Be that bright and shiny object that moves around in this area and wherever you go. And remember, we are the ones. We are the ones to bring about that tipping point in vibration, in consciousness, in divine love, having its expression in all of us and sharing it with the world around us. Namaste.